starting the two dots on Lamed Gimel Lamed Aleph. So Gemara is here discussing Tan Rabbanan Palim Shibau Litvach Charan Mibala Vayit. They come to collect their wages from the owner. Nachan Shorosh Al Balabayit. Right, so it's a dangerous place to get their wages. They get gored by a shor, they get bitten by the dog. So it's a dissuasion for coming to collect their wages. They come, umeid, and they die, patur. So since it was patur, the balabayit is patur. Now when we say patur here, the bach, notes if you can see the out there in the bach points out that the balabayit is patur mikofer. That doesn't mean that the animal is not chayav skila. And the animal for killing is chayav skila, period. Question of the obligation here, the chayav of patur, has to do with the bala bayit is chayav kofer. Achim ramim, rishayim po'alim lidvot charan mi bala bayit. That the po'alim have a right to come to the bala bayit to claim their wages. Echidami, what's the case? Id shchiach b'mato, right? If it is that he's common in the city, right, my time of the achirim. Then what's the point of the achirim? Meaning that if he's common in the city, right? Well, that's one. Rashi learns this. Right. Rashi learns that that means that if he's commonly found inside of the shuk or in the city, then they should approach him in the city or in the shuk and not come to his private property, to his personal house, to claim their wages. Tosfos learns the other way. The b'shchiach b'mato means that he's not a traveling businessman. He's commonly found in the city, so they don't have to worry that he's going to take off and they're not going to be able to get him. So they can find him in the city, they should know quite what's the point. Now, right, if he is shchiach in the bayit, meaning that he's not normally, according to Rashi, he's not normally found in the shuk, right? And according to Tosfos, it's not either shchiach b'bayit, it's lo shchiach b'mato, was the other girsa here. He's not normally in the city, meaning that he's traveling all the time. Then my time is the Tana Kama. Then why is the Tana Kama say he's potur? What else are they supposed to do? They want to get their wages. He's not found in the shuk. They come to his house to get their wages, or he's traveling all the time. He happens to be home this week. They want to come and get their wages. So Mar says, well, the shriach habigavra, the shchiach, what about shchiach? Right, that they sometimes he's here, sometimes he's there. It's not clear where he's going to be found, so they want to take advantage of whenever they can find him. But kari abava, so they're standing outside and they're calling out to the balabait. Varamaluhu, in. So they say, he says to them, yes. They call out, you know, Mr. Boss. And he says, yes. So, Martover, in ul tamashma. Right, when he says in, yes, it means come in, right? And come here, come in. Mashma. Martover, in kumaduchtech mashma. But the other one says, yes, means stay there, I'll come out to you, or I'll come give you your wages. So Tanya Gamandomar in Kumaduktah Mashma, there is a price that supports the position that when someone says yes, when you call into the house and they say yes, it means stay there, I'll come out to you. So Tanya Poel Shnif Nasid Vat Aromi Balabayit Vina Kosharosh Balabayit O Nashko Kalbo Patur. Apo Pichi Nichnas Virishut, even though he's going in with permission. Wait a minute, if he's going in permission, am I Patur? Elala, what's the case there? The Kari Abava, he comes to the door, he says, you know, Mr. Boss, in, he says, yes, Vishramina, in, kuma duchtech mashma. In means yes, means stay where you are. I'm coming out to you. The fact that you entered the property now is you enter at your own risk, and the Balabite is not going to be responsible for that which happens to you, or that which transpires. Right now, the next Mishnah, Shnei Shvarim Tamim. Right, you have two Shvarim Tamim, Shechavlu ze et ze, that did damage to one to the other. Mishamim b'motar chatzinezek. So whichever you take, you do a set off between the two of them, and you take the damage that's done to each one of them, you net the damage, and whoever caused more damage, right, that excess, you take half of it, and that's what he paid. Shnehem mu'adin, right, if they're both mu'ad.
What is it that they die?
Not necessarily, it could be nezek, or, I mean, either way, it doesn't matter. By a shore, death or nezek, death is just an extended form of nezek, by a shore. As opposed to human being, where death is a totally different category than nezek, by a shor, by an animal, mace is just the highest form of nezek that you can have.
What kind of nezek is going on here?
They gored each other. No, they both gored each other. So they both gored each other. There's some sort of damage to the goof. Who knows? I mean, I don't know what the shor does to each other. So now you assess. It's one has depreciated in value 100 shekel. The other one's depreciated in value 50 shekel. The net damage is 50. So that 50 you take, the person who made the greater damage takes that 50, splits it in half, and pays 25. That'll be the net that he has to pay. Mu'adin, mishalmim, b'motir nezek shalim. And then a mu'ad, like in the same case again, where you have someone who's done, right, 200 of damage. I'm sorry, we did 100 damage and 50 damage. And they take the differential between them as 50, and then he pays that full 50, which is the net differential. Echad tam v'echad mu'ad, right? The tam and a mu'ad, and the mu'ad b'tam, if the mu'ad caused more damage than the tam, shalem b'moter nezek shalem, then the excess damage he pays full amount of. Tam b'mu'ad, if the tam created more damage than the mu'ad, then shalem b'moter chatzi nezek, then he pays the excess amount, he pays half of the excess. Mechein shnei anashim shechavlu zeb zeb. Two people are fighting, right? These are people fighting with each other. Shalmin b'motar nezek shalem. Again, they take net, the differential of damage caused. In that, after you take that net, whoever caused the more damage will pay the full amount of the net differential. Adam b'muad, u'muad b'adam. Now, what happens if you have an altercation between a person and a shur? And it's a shur muad. So, an adam and a muad, or muad b'adam shalem b'motar nezek shalem. Then, whichever the net differential is between the mu'ad and the adam, whoever has the higher amount of damage caused, meaning the higher mazik, will pay the full amount of the differential between them. Adam b'tam, b'tam b'adam, an altercation between a person and the tam. Adam b'tam, if it's the man caused, the person caused more damage to the tam than the tam caused to him, shalem b'motar nezek shalem. Then he takes the excess damage caused between them, and he pays the full amount of it. Tam b'adam, if the tam caused more damage than the adam, then he's supposed to shalem b'motar chatzi nezek. Then he pays in the excess, he pays chatzi nezek, that excess of damage. V'kiva mer, this is the Mishnah itself, by the way, is no chiddush. The Mishnah itself is all straightforward, it doesn't have any chiddush. Seems to be that this is probably the big chiddush of the Mishnah, this is the position of Rabbi Akiva. Which is v'kiva mer, aptam, shechaval ba'adam, shalem b'motar nezek shalem. But a tam, the damage is an adam, pays nezek shalem. So a tam that does damage to a person does not pay chatzi nezek, he pays nezek shalem. And in our instance here, if it's the motar, right, if it's doing the excess, or the net differential, he'll pay the full amount of the net differential. Now Gemara is going to ask, where does that come from? Tanur Rabbanan. So by the psukim, in the Torah, in Parshat Mishpatim, so there are two categories that are explicitly discussed, right, and then there's one category which is not discussed. The explicit categories are, v'chi gof shor et isha shorei ehu v'meis makur et shorei chayv chatzu et kaspo. That's clear. It's a short tam that does damage to another short. Again, either it kills it, does damage to it, then you pay half. Now, there's the next post there. It says, Unmodaki shona gachu mitmo shushon v'lo yishmen olav shalem yishalem shor takad ashor v'meti yalo. That's a mu'at that does damage to a short. A mu'at that does damage or kills a short. Again, killing is just an extended form of damage. But then he pays full amount. That's the parsha. That's in Shmot Perach Chafalef, Mishpatim Perach Chafalef. It's a psukim lamehei lamedvav. Now, pasuk chavchet talks about shor doing what to a man. V'chi gach shor is ish o isha v'meis, and it kills the person. Then sako yisakel ashor v'leyachel b'tzarov. Right? V'im shnar gachu mitmol shuzom v'ad v'olav. Then he pays v'mit ish o isha shor yisakel b'gam b'olav yumat. We know that gam b'olav is im kofer yishuat olav v'natan yisjo nafsho. The other thing the Torah addresses is if a shor kills a person. It's a short tam, right? We had a machlokas earlier whether he pays chatzi kofer or nothing at all. If it's a shor muad, then he pays kofer to the balim. In both instances, right, the shor gets killed. Now, the one thing it does not address is a shor doing damage to a person. So that's what's missing here. Now, the pasuk lamed aleph there says, O ben igach, O bat igach. And so, benigach uvatigach, which now we're going to see the Gemara students is talking about nezek to a person, then kamishpat hazeh yakelo. This is the din that you will do to it. What is the mishpat hazeh yakelo? Which is unclear from the Torah. What is that representing? That's my focus in Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim. That's it. Tanrabanan. Kmishpat hazeh yakelo. Kmishpat shor, bishor, kach mishpat shor, be'adam. Right, so just like the din of a shor attacking another shor, so too will be the din of a shor that attacks a human being and causes damage to him. What would that mean? What's the implications of that? That if he's a mu'ad, he'll pay nezek shalem. If he's a tam, he will pay chatzi nezek. My shor b'tam b'shalem chatzi nezek, u'mu'ad nezek shalem. Af shor b'adam, tam b'shalem chatzi nezek, u'mu'ad nezek shalem. So that's the position of the Tanakhama, the Chachamim. Rabbi Akiva omer, ki mishpat hazek, ki tachton, velo ki elyon. Right, kishpat hazeh means like this din, right, and not the upper din. So what does that mean? That means that we left off. Remember the sukkim that I quoted to you quoted two things. It talked about a shor tam that kills a person. Then it talks about the shore mu'ad that kills a person. Then it jumps to obedigach uvatigach, a shore that's doing damage. So what he's saying is that what was the last thing we dealt with was a shore mu'ad. So that means that when we say k'mishpat hazeh, means like the mishpat. What was the last din that we spoke about? That's shore mu'ad. What's the din of a shore mu'ad? Shore mu'ad pays nezek shalei. So that's what it means. K'tachton v'lo elyon means that k'mishpat hazeh means always. Always you will pay like a shore mu'ad when he does damage to a adam.
How does that mean that?
Because it says k'mishpat hazeh. What's the reference? I mean, this is a reference that has, we don't know what the, right, like a pronoun, we don't know what the antecedent is. You have a statement, k'mishpat hazeh. Which mishpat? Right, it's left open. The Chachamim say that it's the whole perspective. It's mishpat means the din of shor that is mazik, which is actually a number of psukim later. Which is strange. It's not so easy. Rabbi Akiva makes more sense. Truth be, Rabbi Akiva makes more sense. Rabbi Akiva says the last thing we spoke about was shor mu'ad that kills a person. So mishpat hazeh would be like just like shor mu'ad. That's the din by nezek. That's the din of Rabbi Akiva. The Chachamim say no. Mishpat hazeh means look further down. A couple psukim later, it talks about damage to a shor. That's what we're referencing. So let's put that also. It's more Rabbi Akiva really is more logical in this sense. All right. So now the Gemara wants to know that some really young yochol mishalei min abiyah. This is interesting. Then Rabbi Akiva says, wait, if I'm a shor mu'ad, what's the din of a shor mu'ad? Number one, it pays nezek shalem. Number two is it pays from the estate. I mean, irrespective of the value of the shor hamazik, you pay the full amount of damages. Tamalomar yasel lo. Right? So that mishpat say yasel lo. Lo means it. What's it? It means the animal itself. Migufo mishalem, ein mishalem in aliyah. And he pays from his body and not from the aliyah. So we'll have a case here, we have almost a mix. If a short time does damage to a person, he will pay the full nezek, but not in excess of his value. Right? Again, if he's a short mu'ad, then he'll pay for full damages up from the estate. I mean, it will be irrespective of his value. Rabbanan zel amali. According to Rabbanan, what does that mean? Right? Zeh, what do I need this word? It says, mishpat hazeh. What do they need that for? It says, lefotro mi arba'at dvarim. To make him patur from the arba'at dvarim, meaning that mishpat zeh yaselo, meaning that he will pay this mishpat, meaning just nezek, and not the arba'at dvarim. Rabbi Akiva, lefotro mi arba'at dvarim, in ole. Where does he know that you don't pay for the additional four things? Nafkele, this is what we brought earlier in the Gemara, ish kitein mumba mito. Ish be'amito, right, and the Chabab, we said that an ish pays this amount to his friend, but lo shor be'amito, right, only man to man do you pay arba dvarim, not when your mamon does damage to an individual. Rabbanon, wait, Rabbanon can use that puzzle also. Ime ha'i aviminu tzar l'chude. Ish be'amito is only a din by tzar. That's where we like to learn the din of tzar from. So that would seem to indicate there's only exclusion of tzar from that puzzle, that you pay tzar even when there's nezek being paid. Aval ripoy v'shevet eimad l'tein. Maybe he has to pay ripoy and shevet. Maybe he has to pay for the doctor bills and for the shevet and for the unemployment. Kamash malon, that, no. That's the chum, the additional plus of teaching. You pay none of the four things when it comes to a shor. Boshet, obviously, is excluded here because boshet, you have to be, number one, mitkaven lahazik. Right? It has to be a person. I mean, that the only time we talk about boshet is when another person does it. And number two is when it's done kamen atol lahazik. Alright, now, here's next Mishnah. Shor shove manev shenagach shor shove matayim. Right, so you have one that's worth 100, the gourd's one that's worth 200. Ve'ena nevela yefeklum, and the corpse is worth nothing. No tell it's a shor. You can grab the shor. Right, so you have 200 and 100 damage. What's the net differential? The net differential between them is 100. Right, so he owes him 100. The shor that did the mazik was worth 100. So he takes the shore, that's me gufo, he pays, right, the chati nezek, up to the value of the shore, he grabs that 100 zuz shore, and he takes it for himself, and everything's done, we're all fine. So matnitan man, who's the author of our Mishnah? So it's Rabbi Akiva here. Why is that? The Tanya, yushama shor bebeitin vive Rabbi Shmo. Rabbi Shmo believes when we say that you pay me gufo of the shore, when you pay out of the value of the shore, that means that you assess the value of the shore, and then he pays the money, the monetary equivalent of this. It's not that you grab the shore that did the damage. I mean, gufo doesn't literally mean you get to keep that animal. It means we assess the value of the animal, and then he gives you a cash, right, the cash equivalent of that animal. If you weren't, no, who caught the shore? It's done. Say mazik, the shore mazik is now belongs to Nizak. He can just take it. It's his property now. But my commitment, what are they arguing about? I mean, Shmuel, Tavar, Bach, Lohu, Bizuzehu dimisalikle demetikle. Right, that he's really a debtor over here. The mazik becomes a debtor. He owes money to the nizak. And what is collateral for that? The shore is collateral. So normally when you have a loan and something's collateral, we don't automatically take the collateral. We say, pay the loan back. And if he takes the collateral, we say, give him the money and he gets the collateral back. I mean, the collateral is only there to ensure payment. Same thing over here. The shore is just a guarantee of payment. But we give us a note. They become partners in the shore. Meaning that the mazik and the nizak now become joint owners of the shore. The mazik's interest in the shore will be up to the value of the nezek that was done. And they now are joint partners. And they're arguing about the pasuk. What pasuk? The pasuk that is found by Shor Tam in the Torah. It says, after he goes shore, isha shore re'eu, bameh, umachru et shor achai. They sell the shor achai. Vichatsu et kospo. They split the dimension. Vagam et ameh, yechatsun. Right? So when it says over here, umachru et hashor achai, vichatsu et kospo, who is that speaking to? When it says, umachru et shor achai, vichatsu et kospo, who is it saying will sell the shore and split the money? Rabbi Shmuel, so for the Beidina, come and die, Rachmana. Start telling the Beidin what to do. Beidin, take the shore, sell it, or assess its value, and then give the equivalent money to the nizak. But the Kiva server, no, it's speaking to the nizak. You yourself, take it. You, the nizak, you, the one who damaged you, take the shore and sell it. Umazik, right? And the mazik, who also might have a vested remaining interest in it if it's not to the full value, Mizar al Rahmana. The Torah is telling them, listen, this is what you guys got to do now. You got to sell this shore mazik, and then split the money according to the damage done. So my benayu, what's the nafkamina between them? Now, truthfully, there are many nafkaminos, but the Gemara just brings one example of nafkamino, which is ikdishu nizak, ikabenel. What happens if the nizak, this is one example, Tosfos brings a number more down, you can come up with plenty of different, hey, ikdisho nizak, ikabenel. If the nizak is makdish the shore, that would be the difference between them. Like, David's saying, listen, if he can pay him money, you don't own the shore. So you can't be makdish the shore. All the shore is collateral to you, and then you get the money, you can't be makdish. On the other hand, if you get the shore because it's your partnership here, then you can be makdish your chalik or the whole shore if it's yours. Right? So, but that's basically showing what you're saying. David is showing the difference in ownership here, whether you own the shore or whether you're entitled to money as collateral. Right, what happens if the mazik preempts, after the damage is done, the mazik preempts him and sells the shore? The Rabbi Yishmael Mahu. According to Rabbi Yishmael, what's the din? Now, according to Rabbi Kiva, the din is obvious, that if the mazik sells the shore, he did nothing because the nizak owns the shore. Question is by Rabbi Yishmael, where the shore is collateral, right, the shore is collateral, and then the mazik goes in and preempts and it sells it. What right? What type of rights does the nizak have in the shore? Kiva, the Rabbi Yishmael, Baal Kovu, Bezuzeh, who's the Mitzalik, Lehi Mahur. That because he's a buffalo here, then he has the ability to sell it, like anybody can sell collateral, no problem, right? And it works. Odilma, Kavan, the Mishabatle, the Nizak, but since it's a Shibu to the Nizak, since it's a directly collateral to the Nizak, right? Lav Kol Kminei. He doesn't have a right to sell it until he fulfills his obligation to the Nizak. Amalei, Enu Machor. It's not sold. Right? The sale is invalid. When it comes to such an instance where the Mazik sells the shore, the sale is invalid. Vahatanya, we have a price that says machro machur, that if he sells it, it does go through, the transaction goes through. So he says, hoser v'goveil, that he can go back and take it away. Meaning that, like any other debtor, if somebody sells something, right, you can go back and pull it back, right, take the collateral back. It says, chi machar shechoser v'goveil, lama machur. Right, so if he can go back and grab it back, then what does that mean? It's machur. It's not really sold. If he can go take the collateral back and grab the animal back, then it's not really sold. The Mara says, the ridya. Right, so the ridya is lecharisha for plowing. It's machlokas between the Rashi and Tosfos. I got to explain the ridya. Rashi explains the ridya over here that if he did do charisha with it, if he sold it to a third party, the mazik sells it to a third party. This third party plows with it until the other guy comes to take it back. So the nizak comes to take it. The mazik sells the shore to a third party. That third party goes ahead and plows with the shore. The nizak comes now, takes the shore back to get his money. Right, then, Rashi says, if he plows already, he doesn't have to pay the amount of value of the plowing that he did. He bought it. He thought he bought the shore, free and clear. And when he plows with it, then he's entitled to, that was his entitlement when he had it. And then when the nizak comes to collect it back, nothing to talk about. He doesn't owe him any money for the plowing because nizak didn't fully own it during that period of time. Tosfos, on the other hand, and other Rishonim disagree with Rashi and say, no, not as if he plowed with it, is he not chayav to pay, but because he may plow with it. That if you sell the shore to a buyer, the buyer is basically buying it to plow with it till the nizak comes and takes it back from him. Right? That's the idea of collateral. When someone buys something that is collateral, they have the, in the back of their mind, they have the knowledge that someone should come and take the collateral from them. But in the interim, why did they buy the shore? They bought it for the optional, right, use that either it'll stay with them or that they can use it between the time that they bought it and the time that the nizak comes and gets it. And that's what it means, Liridia. He is entitled. That's what he bought. He's buying the value of the plowing in between. So that's what he gets. So now it says, Shema Mina. Now Shema Mina here is not a, it's not like a, like classic in the Shema Mina, let me bring you a poof, but here the Shema Mina is a question. What does that mean? Lofe umocher metalzlin based in Gopin Lomahem? Wait, wait a minute. We know that when it comes to collateral, there are different forms of collateral. There's collateral which is real property, meaning land. When you have real property, then that collateral can be taken back by the borrower, by the creditor. Creditors can go and collect from real property. But when it comes to talcolin, when it comes to non-real property, when it comes to items that a person sells, we say that those don't stand as collateral. If they sell them, right, that they are not retrievable. Why? We said that as obvious. Why? Because karka yeshla kala. Right, land has a well-known when there is a lien on the land. Right, you can always find out about a title on a land when someone has a lien on the land or in some sort of property. Therefore, we can expect the it's buyer beware. And when you're buying, you've got to make sure that it's free and clear. On the other hand, when you talk about metalcolin, it's impossible to know when something has a collateral or a lien on it. So there we say that when the buyer buys it, he's entitled to keep it, and the balei chov, the creditors, can't come and take it, because how is the buyer supposed to know that there's a lien on it? The same thing over here. You have a shore that was mazik, right? Now he's a bal chov, the mazik is a bal chov to the nizak, and then what's collateral? The shore. Shore is metalcolin. When you give away the shore, when he sells the shore, how come the bal chov, the nizak, can come and collect from that collateral? What entitlement does he have? It says, ha'zam kiman da'so putuki dami. Our case of shore is different. It's not just collateral, but it's a putuki. A putuki is what's called directed collateral. Right? You know, when you, in general, when you have collateral, you say that all my property is, right, subjected, is mishubad, to this loan. That means that as long as there's property, or any piece of property, you can come and collect from. On the other hand, we have what's called a putuki, which says this particular piece of land is the collateral for the loan. So over here, the shore becomes directed collateral for the nizak, for the nezak that was done. And the nizak has this shore, he's got directed collateral on the shore. Marzeh, Rama Rabba, we had this, again, we had this earlier in the Masechta on Yudalos, right? Rabba says, Asa Avdo Aputuki. Someone makes his Eved and Aputuki directed collateral, Umachon sells him, Bakob Kovar Menu. Bakob can go back and get him. Why? Because a Eved has a Kol. When there's a lien on an Eved, it has a Kol. Shoro Aputuki, if he makes the Shor directly collateral, Makro Ein Bakob Kovar Menu. You're not allowed to go get it. Why? Again, same thing. When you put a lien on a shore, who knows that there's a lien on a shore? You know, we talk about real property. When you talk about a vadim, it's not, they can find out. That's the type of thing which becomes well known. How about it? You've got 50, you know, you've got 50 shvarim, and there's a direct collateral on one of the shvarim. That doesn't seem to me something that people are going to know about.
That's the person
that's the very good. So Shaul's on the right track here. Eved, my time. Well, what's the reason by an Eved we say direct collateral works, and you can take it back? It's Mishum Deitlei Kala. Right, because there's a call about it. Hainami came in the Nagach. And sure, it does damage, then call it Islay. Right? The Tarnagachna Karile. He becomes known as the damaging shore. Right? I mean, the killer shore, damaging shore. I mean, he takes on an additional title because of the damage he's done. He's something unique about the shore. Something, as soon as something becomes unique, then people know about it. People start to talk about it. Right? And when people start talking about it, then it's known that there's a lien on such a shore. So it should be known, something along the lines of what Joel is suggesting here. Since the Torah assigns it as his collateral, plus, right, there was Nezek done here, it was a Shura Mazik, that Shura becomes much more pronounced or obvious that it is collateral, and therefore, if someone buys it, he's got to be buyer beware, because he should have known. He should have known that it's going to be taken as collateral. Alright, Tani, Rav Tachlifa, Bar Ma'arava. So Rav Tachlifa, not the son of Ma'arava, but Bar Ma'arava means he's a man of the West, right, he's from Eretz Yisrael. Kamei de Rabbi Bo, Machro Ein Machor. If he sells it, it's not sold. He show mukdash. But if he's makdish it, it is mukdash. So, who are we talking about here? The mazik or the nizak? Machroman. Who sold it here? Ilema mazik machro. Ena machur. If you say when the mazik sells it, it's not good sale. Mani, who is that? That's Rabbi Akiva, who says the shore now belongs to the nizak, or at least the nizak, the partner here. Dama huchad ashor. Right? So that the shore goes to, is now owned by the nizak. Vik show mukdash. Now, if you say the mazik can be makdishit, Who did that go? That's on the Rabbi Yishmael. That sounds like Yishmael that says the Amar Yisham Ashur Bebeisin. It's only collateral and not that that belongs to the Nizak. That's why the Mazik is able to be Makdishit now. Why is he able to be Makdishit? Because it's still his. It's just collateral. He can be Makdishit. Ela Nizak Machro Eno Machur. Alright, so we're talking about the Nizak. If he doesn't, if he sells it, it's not sold. Who's that? Mani Rabbi Yishmael. That's Rabbi Shmuel says that it doesn't really belong to the Nizak. The Nizak is not a collateral, it doesn't belong to him, so he sells it, it doesn't work. Wait a minute, if the Nizak Mizmakish, if the Hekdesh goes through, that's on the Rabbi Kiva. That sounds like Rabbi Kiva says that the Nizak actually owns it now. So, we can't make a fit. This statement of Rabbi Tachlipa says, if the sale doesn't work, but the Hekdesh does work, in either case, it sounds like one is Rabbi Shmuel, one is Rabbi Kiva, each one of those dinim. We don't have a consistent din here. But it says, no, Lolam, we're talking about the Mazik, and the Divrei Hakol, and it's according to everyone. Why is it according to everyone? Machro eno machur, if he sells it, it's not sold. Now, according to Rabbi Kiva, it's obvious why the Mazik sells it, it's not sold, because the Mazik doesn't own it anymore, the Nizak does. Now we have to explain Rabbi Shmuel. Afilu the Rabbi Shmuel, the Hamishav Dolei the Nizak. There's a lien on here, a directed lien on it. And Rabbi Shmuel is going to say that in that directed lien, the sale does not go through.
Why? Because he was the mazik, this was...
Right, so this is the directed collateral, this is an aputuki, and we're going to say it's so mishubad to the loan that he can't sell it. Right, he doesn't have a right to sell it.
Until the litigation is resolved.
Right. Hikdi shom mukdash, so hikdi shom mukdash for the mazik, according to Rabbi Shmuel, that's easy to understand, right? That the mazik can be makdashit because it's still his. Right, on the other hand, the Rabbi Kiva, how are we going to explain makdashit mukdash? Right, you're going to say, Afilu the Rabbi Akiva Mishum the Rabbi Bo. This is the din of Rabbi Bo, which we've mentioned before. We have a general din that even when a person is not entitled to be Makdish something, right, we don't allow him to take it back without any payment. Why? Because we're afraid people are going to look at it and say, wait, you can be Makdish something and then just take it back without any payment? We're afraid people are going to learn from that you can remove Hekdesh without any paying anything for it. So we make him pay a minimal amount. Doesn't have to be the real value. Pays a small amount to get the shore back from Hekdesh to show that it must be taken out through Pidyon through a redemption. So over here, when the Mazik sold it, he wasn't entitled to sell it. Right? Again, he wasn't entitled to sell it, but... I'm sorry. He was entitled... He wasn't according to Rabbi Kiva. He was not entitled to sell it because it belongs to the Nizak. Nevertheless, for other people on the outside, it looks like he owns it. It's his shore. It did damage, and it looks like it's his shore, and he goes in his Makdash. If we let the Nizak come and just grab it away from Hekdesh, it's going to look like he can take things away from Hekdesh without any payment. So we make him pay a small amount, a token fee, to show that it was some pigeon from Hekdesh. Right, the Mazik should have to pay it here, but if the Mazik doesn't pay it, then he's out. He hands him a fruta so he can get the shore back. That could be his. Okay, now, Gemara's going to bring a large brace over here. Alright, you know what, I should mention this. Rabbi Bo's din, which over here sounds like what? Rabbi Bo's din sounds like that if you have Kedusha Tamim, right? Kedusha Tamim, the only time that you can remove Hekdesh or Kedusha from an animal is when it's Kedusha Tamim, when it's have Hekdesh for its monetary value. If it's Hekdesh of Goof, right, when it's a Hekdesh of Goof, then you can't remove that Hekdesh, that's called Tamura, and it doesn't work. You can't remove it unless it becomes a Balmum. Comes a Balmum, then you can redeem it. Okay, so now there's a, and based on this, right, we can see what? That if you're Makdish something, it does not remove the shibud. We had this in actually in the Dharma, we had it together in Subos, that when someone is, there's certain things that are Makdiya shibud, that you can remove a lien. By doing so, you can remove a lien. One of those items that we said that you can remove a lien with is a Hekdesh. If you're Makdish something, it ruins the lien that was on that property. It removes the lien. That is only true, at least according to Rashi and many of the other Rishonim, that's only true if you're Makdish Kedusha Taguf. If you're makdish it for its, not for its value, but rather for Hekdesh Aguf to be put on his back, that's Makia Midei Shibud. If you're only makdish it for Damim, for its monetary value, that does not remove the Shibud. That does not remove the Shibud. And that'll explain our case over here. There's a Shibud that exists over here, and we said that it was makdish it. The Mazik was makdish it. Now, if the Mazik is makdish it, if he's makdish it, alright, Kedusha Taguf, then there wouldn't be any Shibud left anymore, and he wouldn't be entitled to take it back. So it must be over here. We're talking about a case of Hekdesh Damim. Same about Hekdesh Damim, and that's why you have the Inyun of Pidyon here. Why you have to redeem it? Because we're talking about Hekdesh Damim. That works well according to all the Rishonim and Rashi. The one person doesn't work well according to is the Rabbeinu Tam. If you remember the Rabbeinu Tam, we brought him down in the Dharma, we brought him in Ketubot. Rabbeinu Tam believes that even Hekdesh Damim removes the Shibud. that even when you're makir something for its monetary value, it removes the shibud from the animal. What's the Rabbeinu Tam going to do over here? As soon as the mazik makdish the animal, gone, the shibud's gone. There's nothing to talk about anymore. How can we talk about here that the nizak comes to get it? How can the nizak come? And why do you have to redeem it according to Rabbi Bo at all? There's nothing to talk about. The mazik was makdish, it's gone. Right, so this is
Rabbeinu
Tam. He doesn't own it at all. He doesn't own it. Oh, but even... maybe even according to Rabbi Akiva, I agree with you. Rabbi Shmuel for sure it's a problem. Even according to Rabbi Akiva, maybe when the mazik is makdishit, he's still a shutaf, and then when he's makdishit, he removes the shibud that the nizak has. I agree with you, it's probably more along the lines of Rabbi Shmuel. But either way, from Rabbeinu Tam, it's a very problematic gemara. Right? That's what the mention over here. That's a very problematic Rabbeinu Tam. The Rabbeinu Tam answers, like he does in many places, is what? Alume chachamim the shibudet. Right? That's what we say. Anytime we want to say that the shibud survives some sort of event, some sort of action that should wipe out the shibud, we say, Chachamim alume the shibudei. Chachamim strengthen the shibud so that it would not be affected by it. So Rabbeinu Tam has to answer the same thing over here, right? The Gemara in Ketubah says that by might be a dying of the woman and certain other things, that even though certain things should remove that shibud, nevertheless, Chachamim alume the shibudei. That they strengthen the shibud so that you couldn't remove it. So Rabbeinu Tam has to answer the same thing over here. The Chachamim extended this shibud of hezek, of the mazi, of the nizak on the animal, they strengthen to the point where even when he's matishit, he can't remove that shibud. But just to remind you of that makokos, the important makokos here, Rabbeinu Tam and others have shown him about whether hektesh dumming can remove a shibud. And if it can, right, then how do you deal with this gemara? You have to deal with this gemara by saying that, Chachamim alume mele shibudei. Coming straight to the shibud to the point that you can't remove it in this instance. Alright. Now again, the Gemara is going to bring down a brisa here. It's a very long brisa, and then the Gemara is going to come back to discuss this brisa, break the brisa down. So, Dara Ban, a short time she is weak. You have a short time that does damage. Ach lo mad bedin before it goes to din machro machur. If the mazik sells it, goes through. If you show mutash and if he's makdish it, it's a good ekdish. Shakatov and that's no matter. And I checks it and gives it as a gift. When he did it, done. Misha amad bedin. Once he was already brought to basin and said bedin machro and machur. His sales are invalid. They're showing him mukdash. His hektesh is no longer hektesh. Chatov natum batanal lo sav lo klum. He did nothing. Kadmo balei chovot the dig biu. Now, if balei chovot other debtor, other creditors come.
It's hard to say.
Very good. All right, the Gemara will ask you a question. Right, very good. obviously did something. So.
The change of ownership. That's what.
Right. So the Gemara will address it. Very good question. Yes. Kadmo balei chovot dig biu. Other creditors come along and take the animal, right? Ben chav actually zik, whether the debt was outstanding before it did damage. Ben shizik actually chav, whether the damage was first and then the debt came about, right? Lo asav lo klum, they're not allowed to take it. Lefi she'en mishtalim elam migufo, because he only paid, that is by Tom, paid out of the goof, meaning that the goof is mishubad to the nezek. Now mu'ad shizik, now opposed to a Tom, which we just discussed, what is a mu'ad? Ben shamad bedin, ben shamad bedin.
The case that the Bryce is quoting a situation that seems to be against what we just saw about.
Yes, yes. So we have to, right, exactly. We might have to discuss all these cases here. That's explain why it works. Now, Mu'ad Shizik, Benjamad Bedin, Benjamad Bedin. When it comes to Mu'ad, whether he was brought to Din or not brought to Din, Machro Machur, sale goes through, it's Nishom Mukdash, Shakatov Natom Matanam, Ashatah Tsui. Everything goes through. Why? Because the mu'ad is not meshubad for the damages, right? It's all out of the estate, not out of the animal. The animal is irrelevant in this case because the collection comes out of the estate and not out of the animal. Kadmo balei chovot vigbio, that they went and collected it. Balei chovot, creditors came along and collected the animal from the debtor. Ben chavach loizik, ben kizik ashalachav, whether the debt was outstanding before the damage or the damage came before the debt. Masha asa atsui. Again, they come, the fee, shei mishtam el min aliyah. By mu'ad, everything's paid out of the estate, so there's no shibud on the animal itself. So whatever the mazik does with his animal, it's still his animal. Now the Gemara says, Amar Mar, Machro Machur, how do we explain, since this is your question, what do you mean? Machro Machur, why is it sold? Meaning that we said before, that's my focus on Bekiva Rishmal, that who owns it, how can it be Machro Machur? So the Gemara says, the radio. That's, when you say Machro Machur, it doesn't mean that it's sold entirely, that the animal's gone. No, it's sold for the ability to plow with it. Now, according to each one, according to the Shita, though, means that if he plowed with it, he doesn't have to pay for it. According to the other Rishonim, he can't plow with it. And when he buys it, he's entitled to plow with it. If you show Mukdash, Mishom the Rabbi Bo. Mukdash Mishom, Mukdash doesn't mean that Hektesh is a full Hektesh. No, it's enough of Hektesh that you require you to pay a token amount to get it back. Not that it comes back without any clearance.
So we're taking one of the
Right. Shakto vinatno b'matana. Right. Mashasa sui. Wait. Now, if he shakts it and gives him matana, mashasa sui sui. Wait. Bishvamo natno b'matana. Mashasa sui. The ridia. Now you can explain when he doesn't shakts it and just gives it as a gift. That's equivalent of selling it, because that means it entitles you to plow with it and say mashasa sui because you can get the animal back. Hello, shakato. Excuse me, if he checked, like Shaul was pointing out, what do you mean? He just destroyed the value of the animal as standing as a sheboard to the right in Isaac. What do you mean? Let him pay out of the value of the carcass that's left. I mean, that there's a carcass left here, that carcass should be used to pay. I mean, there's still an animal that's here. So Titania, Chai, Emli Elachai, that the Tom pays out of it when he's still alive. Shachto minai, how do I know when he's already shechted that he still pays? Tamalomo or machros shor, mikom akom, not just shorachai, but a shor. No matter what, you have to sell it. So Mar says, Amar Rav Shizvi, lo nitrucha lepchat shchida. Right, what's lost here, right, the mazik doesn't have to pay. But Shemashia Akta Atsui is that when he goes in and shechts the animal, right, that diminishment of value between the animal being alive and being dead now, the mazik does not have to fork out. Before it's a month of din, the mazik does not have to fork out the differential in value between when it's alive and when it's dead. In excess of the chazik. Nazik now is worth less, then the nizak is out of luck.
What's the original understanding of Mashasa?
The original understanding of Mashasa is that it's given to the guy, but Matana, it's all gone. He can't get it back at all.
And then the payment for the nezek has to be from
nothing. He doesn't have anything left to pay from. The goof is gone. Everything's gone. The Mar says, "What do you mean? The goof's not gone. You can still at least get it out of the carcass." I mean, that a goof doesn't just mean a live goof; it could mean a dead goof. So at least the dead goof here is left to pay with. Now wait a minute, but there is something lost here, which is the differential in value between a live goof and a dead goof. Then he lost. That's much also sui. So he lost that differential in value. Now what do we conclude from this? Amar Ravuna Breder Pshua Zot Omeret. From this we can conclude Amazik Shibudo Shel Chaveiro Patur. Someone who does damage to the collateral of his friend is patur. Mean that here the owner of the collateral, if he does damage to something to cause the collateral to go down, diminish in value. He's patur. That's exactly what we just saw. The guy comes here, shechts the animal, he just ruined the collateral of the nizak, and yet he's not held accountable for that. Right, says pshita. That's obvious. I mean, not as pshita, that Ravuna's conclusion from what we just said is obvious. I mean, that's true. He just damaged the sheep, and we say he's not responsible for it. So Mar says, Mar Zaino, Hatam hu damar lei lo chatar tich velo midei. So he says, over here in our case, you can say, listen, I really didn't cause you any loss. I just took away some wind.
The soul.
I took away the soul. I didn't do anything. You said the animal's still here.
Baal Ba'alma,
in general, a chayit. Kamash Balan, that in general, too, the same is true. That if someone is mazik, is mazik the collateral, then it is patur. In this case, there is something down that there is someone that disagrees with this. In other places, there's someone that says you are chayiv in this instance. But at least the conclusion of this Gemara is that if you're mazik a collateral, then you're not held accountable. All right, Hanami Rabba Amra. Rabba says a similar statement. Is Amar Rabba Asareish Toratom Shel Chaveiro? Someone who burns documents of his friend. I mean, these are credit documents, right? Loan documents of his friend. He is patur. Right? Why? Over here, did he do any damage? No. The only damage he did was burn paper. Right, so he has to pay him the return of that paper. Oh, the fact that this paper is worth a lot of money because it has a loan written on it, that you're not chayav for, because that which is written on the document is just an equivalent of a shibud. I mean, that creates your ability to take a lien or to have rights to collect from this, and make it not a loan bal peh, but a loan, right, b'chtav, right, b'shtar.
Can you sell the shibud?
The machlokas in the Gemara Kedushin. The machlokas, whether you're like that. Machlokas in the Gemara Kedushin.
I mean, instead of like, as long as that, if somebody burns paper money, or...
Right, I'm saying it's a problem. It is, it's an issue. It's not so clear today. Today we sell debt all the time, which means you sell obligations of debt, which according to the Gemara, it's not so clear that you can do such a thing. Right. According to the Gemara, it may not be that there's a kinyan on that. There may not be ability to create a kinyan on something that isn't tangible like that. And you may not have the right. That means that according to the Gemara and Kedushin, the original creditor can forgive the loan. The original creditor can forgive the loan, even though someone else has bought it, according to the market condition, because you can't sell it. Whereas here, in modern day, if the creditor sells the loan, then he no longer has any rights. He's out of the picture. Right? That's not the case. Again,
of the three people, one owns the other, and the other one owns the other's out.
That's the transitive property of loans, right? But that's even a question there. That's a machlokas that we've shown them what happens there. It's a very good question. Rashi Buddha to Rabbi Nosan, as Makokas Rabbi Shonim, whether when you have those, we have a creditor of a creditor, whether now the debtor becomes obligated to the directed creditor above, the first creditor, or does it still pass through the middle creditor? Means that he's really paying the middle creditor, and the middle creditor is paying the top creditor, or is it now the debtor is now obligated to the first top creditor, and they're not familiar with the law, whether we, how we do it. And that has to be Makokas Rabbi Shonim, about when the Shibud starts. I mean, are you entitled to the shibud of the middle creditor, or is it create a new shibud when you go to collect from the debtor? I mean, that when the debtor comes obligated to you as the last creditor, do you start a whole new shibud? Right, there are other nafkaminos there. Same of Hazam to Amar Lay Nira Ba'alma Kala. I mean, over there, Rabbi would have thought, I'm just burning some paper. Of a Echad, the Chaper Barba wrote, the Chim of my rope. Guy goes into the other guy's field and he digs out all these, visible damage. Right, the Chayay. So in that case, he should be. Right? Chayav. Kamash Balon, that even in cases where the damage is visible, right, like Shechita, where the damage is visible, he's still not obligated to pay. There's a very, very important Rashi over here. Just wanted to point it out here. It says, Chachi Garcina, and it says Rashi is three up from the bottom, the third glass Rashi here. The Gemara here brings a question, Hanami Rabba Amra. The Rabba already said this. So what that Rabba said this already? I mean, Rabba's an Amora. The fact that Rabba said this, why should that be a difference to Rav Huna Breid Rav Shua? Now, if Rav Huna Breid Rav Shua says a statement, is it a Mora that says something? Fine. If it's already made stated by one of the Tanaim, then you can ask on Rav Huna Breid Rav Shua, if someone else, right, what's your Kiddush? You said it already. That's what Mar said, Shisa. From the statement of the Brites, I already know your conclusions. But Mar came up with a Kiddush. How does Mar say this? Rabbi said this. Okay. Rabbi's an Amora, you're an Amora, we both said it. Why does it make a difference to Rav Huna Breid Rav Shua that Rabbi already said this? Right, why is that an afkamina? Look at this Rashi, it's unbelievable Rashi. How can you guys see that? Nami Rabba Amra, Dama Rabba. Rabba Adam Chashub Haya. Ume Adam Chashub Kagon Rab, O Rabba, Parchinan Ki Ilu Ktiv and Mishnah Ubraita. Or Ki Ilu Tani and Mishnah Ubraita. Rabba and Rab were such, right, huge personalities in terms of the Amoraim, in terms of being teachers and leaders in the beginning of the Amoraim, that they are considered equivalent. If they make a statement, then it's equivalent of saying to any Amora and later than him, that you should have known it. If Rabbi said it or Rabbi made the statement, we assume that you should know it just like you should know a Braisa or a Mishnah. And because of that, the Gemara is willing to question from Rabbi to another Amora. Because you as an Amora should have known the statement of Rabbi, you should have known that this Allah that Rabbi already stated. So unbelievable. Now we have Rabbi opposing to that concept we do have by Rabbi. But Rabbi, we don't necessarily have such a concept. And Rashi introduces it here. That's the Gemara's question from Rabbi over here. Pretty, it's an amazing statement of Rashi, but he seems to point. He's taken out of Dar Gemara. The question from Huna Bere Yeshua, from a statement of Rabbi. Right, so you could have said, truthfully, you could have said, right, Hi Nami Rabbi Amra, the Gemara itself was trying to determine what's the difference between what Huna Bere Yeshua said and what Rabbi said. That it was, right, the Gemara itself was a listen to the Gemara. Rashi seems to say that it was a question of Huna Bere Yeshua that Rabbi already said it. What do you bring in for Kiddush for him? Because then he said, comes to the conclusion that when Rabbi makes a statement, you got to know about it. Right now, Mark says, "Kamash Malon, the ha-ha-ha command, the chapa barbarot tukim amarot." I mean, our case of here, shechita is like digging out a field and it's visible. Gamar mashatav soy. When done is done. Right, kadmu balei chavot vigvio ben chavach lo yizik ben yizik achlo chav lo asav lo klum. Fishem shal melam migufa. We said whether the loan preceded the damage or damage preceded the loan, the creditors have no rights here. That makes sense that the damage was first, then the loan, then the lien of the nizak preceded the creditor. So fine, that makes sense. But wait a minute. If the loan preceded the damage, then he's the first lien on the shore. Why doesn't he get the first rights of the shore? Why do we say no? Then he's out of luck also. And I said, filo hizik achlochav. And let's say again, wait a minute. Even if you say that he damaged before he became obligated, Bachov Kadim. Right? So then the Bachov went ahead and was Tofes it. He grabbed it. And we have a principle in general life that if you're Tofes, Kosha Tofes, right? Tafsinin. That's it. Once he takes it, Tafas, Kosha Tafas, Tafas. So when there's Shema Minach, this is included. So you have Bachov Mukhash, Kadim, Begava, Mash Gava, Lo Gava. Then you must conclude from here that if you preempt, a later creditor goes and preempts and grabs the collateral, that he's not entitled to keep it. We're going to take it back from him and give it back. Because over here we see what? The Baal Kol was after, the creditor was after the Nizak. And he went and grabbed it. We're going to say, no, give it back to the Nizak. So Rashi says, no, lo. Truthfully, if he took it, he could keep it. The shiny out, some arcades is different. Listen, buddy. the animal was by you or by him, it did damage. Either way, it now belongs to me. Right? I mean, that I can collect it. It doesn't matter who owns it. You want to keep it there? It doesn't matter who has it. If the debtor has it, the creditor has it, that's my animal. Now, because it did damage, right? And I'm going to go take it. I'm either going to take it from you, I'm either going to take you, the debtor, or I'm going to take it from you, the creditor. Your taking of this animal does not help the situation for you. I still have a lien, a directed lien on this animal. And wherever it is, it's my lien. Right? The Torah, the Atkan, Minay Mishtalma. Right? That any animal that does damage, where do you pay that damage out of it? You pay it out of the goof of the animal. So just because you took it now for your collateral doesn't mean, what, that the lien that I have on this animal is gone. I mean, that's it.
So your animal is damaged.
Right, exactly. It's either your animal is damaged or that I'm still entitled to collect my damages from this animal. So you want to hold on to it? I'll come to you and get it. You know, the debtor has it, I'll get it from him. So it's irrelevant, right, who has the animal at this point. Therefore, it won't make a difference. All right, we'll stop over here.